some and probably had the potential to have some negative impact on some of the larger cities in the state of Iowa. And so after several subcommittees and several meetings that we had within the building and the interested parties, tried to find a solution in which we could be helpful to rural Iowa, but not at the cost of our metro areas within Iowa. So that being said, this amendment would do a few things. Number one, it would change local matches for our smaller communities under 30,000. It would take the population of 5,000 to zero as far as the match. On 15,000, it would be 5% match, and on cities up to 30,000, it would be a 10% match. Currently in Iowa, whether it's Des Moines or a small town in southern Iowa, they would have to have the same level of match. This would make adjustments for those smaller cities and give them the ability to hopefully, I see this as two things. It not only was for economic growth, but I also think it could help our communities from having to always go to TIF to try to come up with their portion of the contribution. So I think it could actually have multiple effects that could be helpful from that standpoint. It also changes the incentive tables that are laid out in code. Currently in code, we have incentive tables that authorize the amount of incentives that can be given out by IDA. This would reduce those and make them more lucrative for smaller communities in rural Iowa. And the definition that we use within this amendment are cities up to 30,000 in counties below 50,000 would qualify for those adjustments in the table. And the final thing would be labor shed wage. I think that currently in our labor shed wage, you use 100% to begin a project, and it has to get up to 120% by the completion of the project for the full award. This would only require in those smaller cities under the definition that I gave to have to go up to 110% of labor wage. I think those of us that represent rural Iowa, if we can get jobs that pay 110% of the labor shed wage, I think we'd be satisfied with that. So, Mr. Speaker, that concludes the opening comments to the amendment.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I listened to Representative Grassley's opening comments, and the previous legislation which this amendment is modeled after, I had the pleasure of serving on the subcommittee and also working through the different iterations of the bill, listening to some of the feedback that was given to our subcommittee from economic developers and chambers of commerce and also folks at EDA who actually implement the programs. I think there's a lot of thought given to its current form, and I would also say, you know, Representative Grassley makes accurate comments on the technical pieces of the bill, but we should also be talking about the spirit of the bill and what it's aimed at trying to achieve. You know, Democrats and Republicans have an interest in working across the aisle on the issue of helping rural Iowans. We don't want the trend of rural depopulation to continue, and I think one of the more staggering statistics that I heard last year was that since our last census, 71 of Iowa's 99 counties have lost population since 2010. That's an alarm that should ring all of us. We want to make sure that the strength of Iowa's economy is it's good for both urban communities and rural communities alike. I think that this gives a thoughtful approach to trying to tweak some of our programs that already exist, and as Representative Grassley said, it also is not doing so hopefully at the cost of other communities that already are doing well and thriving. With that, I would just say that I enjoyed serving on the subcommittee and would encourage support for the amendment.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative McConkie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I want to thank, I worked on the subcommittee on this bill, and I want to thank Representative Grassley for bringing this amendment forward. I agree, this is a good amendment for rural Iowa. I also want to thank Representative Carlson for all the work he's done on this, and I want to give some thanks to Representative Runny Markcart for her input and help on this too. I urge this body to support the amendment and support the bill. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Muscatine, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to give my full support to this amendment. I think this is very consistent. We did the Empower Rural Iowa bill a couple of days ago, and this is very consistent with that, so I would encourage the body to support this amendment.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Fayette, Representative Barringer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I also rise
rest of the Department of Revenue. Just going through the bill, a couple of technical corrections regarding qualified business income, STOs, changing some language there, ensuring that a non-resident are not getting a refundable credit for the Iowa Child and Dependent Care credits, making corporate corporations the same as individuals regarding personal property 1031 like-kind exchanges for this tax year, providing provisions for the Department of Revenue to create a information sharing form so that if somebody wants to give me the power to find out information about their tax taxes to help them solve a problem, they can do so. Addresses some concerns with sales and use tax, provides that the sale of grain bin is no longer going to be subject to sales tax, provides some other technical corrections throughout the sales and use tax, provides that we no longer will require out-of-state online retailers with 200 transactions pay sales tax. Department of Revenue requested that change. Just was not practical. Made some corrections regarding automobile rental excise tax. Provides for extending the targeted jobs withholding credit, extending the student tuition organization tax credit, provides for the extension of the four current checkoffs on our tax returns, provides Department of Revenue power to audit taxes, provides some clarifying language regarding the manufacturer's exemption from sales tax, provides that agriscience is now part of the research activities credit. Mr. Speaker, those are my opening comments. There are amendments.
There are amendments. Clerk, call the first amendment.
H-1309 by Height of Mahaska.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height, for opening remarks, amendment H-1309.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. H-1309 provides a few clarifications on what I just discussed. It extends the targeted jobs credit for 2 years, extends the STO program for $2 million next year, provides for the inclusion of the adoption tax credit. If you all remember, we passed that, I believe, unanimously earlier this year. For some, Senate did not take that up, is my understanding, and provides for a few other technical changes. Those are my opening comments regarding this amendment. There is an amendment to the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
There is an amendment to the amendment. The clerk will call up the amendment.
H-1311 by Bloomingdale of Worth.
Chair recognizes the lady from Worth, Representative Bloomingdale, for opening remarks on amendment H-1311.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is an amendment to the amendment of H-1309. This is an amendment to, I said that four times, sorry about that. Okay. This is to reinstate the geothermal heat pump tax credit. This was eliminated last year, and this will make it retroactive to January 1st of 2019. The geothermal tax credit is 20% of the federal tax credit. The federal tax credit is 30% of the installation cost for 19. It phases out in 2020, it's 26%, and in 2021, it's 22%. This is not a refundable credit, but it is a carry-forward credit. It's capped at $1 million, first in, first serve, and any unused portion of the credit will be carried over to the next year. The biggest thing about this is not the fact that it's a credit. It's a fact that solar was reinstated and geothermal was not. This is about fairness. These are two credits that have to do with alternative energy. I think it's very important that we keep the playing field level, and this is what it does. So I thank everyone who has supported me as I've walked around the House and probably annoyed some of you more than others, but this is a very important bill. It's a fairness bill, and I would really appreciate your support. And with that, I'll entertain any questions.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Bloomingdale, for bringing this amendment forward. I believe that this is an amendment that we can all get behind. And then with the $1 million cap on it, I think it's one that we can do. So I would ask the body to support this amendment.
Chair recognizes the lady from Wapello, Representative Gaskill.
6 o'clock. I thought maybe I could speak to all of them. Good, pause for laughter. Glad we're still hanging in there. There are some pieces in this bill that I get excited about getting behind. There are some pieces of this bill that give me heartburn. Today I'm a yes.
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height, for closing remarks on Amendment H-13. The gentleman from Mahaska moves adoption of Amendment H-1309. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. The clerk will call up the next amendment.
H-1282 by Gaskell of Wapello.
Chair recognizes the lady from Wapello, Representative Gaskell, for opening remarks on Amendment H-1282.
I withdraw my amendment.
Lady from Wapello asks for unanimous consent to withdraw Amendment H-1282. Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will call up the next amendment.
H-1297 by Cressing of Blackhawk.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Blackhawk, Representative Cressing, for opening remarks on Amendment H-1297.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I spoke on this issue on another bill, and I think it's really critical and important. H-1297 actually creates a sales tax exemption for personal property or specified digital products or service to a nonprofit food bank that are used for charitable purposes. And, you know, I said earlier in the comment that we actually give tax credits to grain bins and also airline parts, but we do not feed the hungry, because currently Iowa makes no annual appropriations toward fighting hunger. So currently, there would provide a minimum of 1,375,000 more meals in Iowa through food banks. And then also a little bit about the insecurity. Food insecurity may reflect a household's need, particularly when it comes to medical bills or any other items. And I already shared this, but I think it's worth doing again. 1 in 9 Iowans, 1 in 6 kids and seniors go to bed hungry, missing more than 61 million meals annually. So having the local food bank, and I'm sure maybe some of you have done it. I have volunteered at the food bank, helping put bags together, handing out the food, and the lines are pretty significant. I did want to read a couple of comments. One was in the Waterloo Courier by Barbara Prather, who is the executive director of the Northeast Iowa Food Bank. Many of us may not know what it's like to be really hungry. Maybe yesterday we were, because we were here so long. But unfortunately, in Northeast Iowa, where I'm from, more than 45,000 people and 14,000 children are affected by hunger. This is not acceptable. The Northeast Iowa Food Bank is working to assure that they have access. So this bill, it calls for a sales tax exemption for food banks. The Northeast Iowa Food Bank paid an estimated $30,000 in sales tax on products and services, and one of them, they have a truck that delivers their products. They had to buy a new one, or they bought a different one. This money would have enabled us to provide 120,000 additional meals to people in need. And then here's another one that comes from the Moline Davenport area. The River Bend Food Bank relocated from downtown Moline in 2014, partly because the property was needed for the new Element Hotel and train station, and partly because the food bank needed more space. We had no preference for Illinois or Iowa. We just needed enough space to support our growing operation. It took 4 years to find the right building, a 60,000 square foot facility just across the interstate 280 bridge in West Davenport. By all measures, the move has been an overwhelming success, thanks to tremendous support from both the community and our network of 300 partner agencies. River Bend Food Bank has doubled the number of meals we distribute to hungry children and families. However, there was an unexpected downside. The 6-mile move across the Mississippi River costs River Bend Food Bank $25,000 each year because the state of Iowa does not exempt food banks from paying sales tax. Do you think it is right for $25,000 that people contribute to end hunger in eastern Iowa and western Illinois must be instead paid to the state of Iowa? I do not. This is why I ask for your support to have the legislature make those changes. Iowa has an interest in determining which organizations are exempt and which are not, and food banks were not at the table when the list was made. So it is a critical piece that we have families, children that are hungry. I mean, we've talked about some of the things dealing with ACEs. One of the pieces of the ACEs question was, are you not being fed adequately? It has a negative impact on that child's growth, growing up. And you can talk to teachers. It's hard to teach a child in the classroom when they're hungry. You know, their brain says, feed me, feed me, feed me. So it is a real problem, Mr. Speaker. I know the last bill was not germane. I really hope this one is. I think it's a thing that we should really do for Iowans that are hungry. So I'd be willing to answer any questions, Mr. Speaker.
Is there discussion? Chair recognizes the gentleman from Mahaska, Representative Height.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Kresig, for bringing light to a very important issue. But, Mr. Speaker, I would question whether this amendment is germane.
The gentleman from Mahaska and the gentleman from Blackhawk, please approach the well.
serving on the subcommittee and diving deep into this because it is a fun topic. And Representative Hind for also serving on the subcommittee and working back and forth with the Senate to come up with agreements that we can both agree on. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I move House File 779.
Gentleman from Mahaska moves the bill read for the last time, placed on its passage. Are there objections? Chair hears none, the clerk will read.
House File 779, a bill for an act related to the administration of the tax and related laws by the Department of Revenue, including the administration and modification of certain tax credits and refunds, the individuals and corporate income taxes, franchise taxes, monies and credit taxes, sales and use taxes, and automobile rental excise taxes, the assessment of properties owned by certain long-distance telephone companies, establishing a taxation and exemption for tax force, computer tax force, extending the utility replacement task force, other properly related matters, penalties applicable, and including effective date and retroactive applicability provisions being enacted by the General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
Question now is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of the passage shall vote aye. Those opposed shall vote no. The clerk will open the machine and receive your vote. Seek votes aye. Thorup votes aye. Meyer of Webster votes aye. Moore of Scott votes aye. Smith of Blackhawk votes aye. Kaufman votes aye. Aye. Have you all now voted? Clerk, close the machine, record your vote. The House pay attention to the results of the vote. Those voting aye, 90, nay 8, absent not voting 2. The bill having received a constitutional majority is declared to have passed the House. Are there objections to the title? Chair hears none. Title is agreed to. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Hagenow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent to immediately message House File 339 and House File 779 to the Senate.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Hagenow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With the passage of House File 769, Senate File 93, Senate File 139, Senate File 228, Senate File 632, and House File 771, I ask for unanimous consent to withdraw House File 483, House File 75, House File 780, House File 676, House File 420, House File 477, House File 782, and House File 227.
Are there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Dallas, Representative Hagenow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If there's no further business, move the House adjourned until Friday, April 26th at 8:30 a.m.